All right, good morning. Hello, everyone. Good to see you all. Good to see your lovely faces. Welcome to you if you are visiting us for the first time. Thanks for joining us. If you're joining us online, we see you. Thanks for being part of things here with us. It's good to be back. I have been around for a few of the different weeks over the last couple of months, but I haven't preached since the start of August, so this is a treat for me to be back. Maybe that break from me has been a treat for you, but it's nice to be here. I'm going to get us started with this slide. Are we firing that up? There we go. So actually, let me pray as we begin. Father, thank you that you are with us and that you speak to us by your Spirit through the pages of your word. And so I pray, God, that you would enlighten our hearts, open our minds to what you have for us today, and may it make a difference in our lives, that we would not just be hearers of your word, but doers as well. So speak to us now, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. In September, if you've been here, we've been in a series called Ready for Anything, and I was supposed to conclude that series today, but instead I'm kicking off the next one, which we're calling Hope in the Mess. And in some ways, the two series are tied. Are we ready for anything? And sometimes life can just be a mess. And so how do we find hope in that? How many of us would agree that life can be messy sometimes? Anybody agree? Life can just kind of be messy. And in fact, you might be thinking about yourself today and just say, today, life feels a little bit like a mess right now. And I don't just mean that life can be busy. We're in London. Sometimes life just feels busy, although that can be a part of it. But I'm saying messy, like things just aren't the way that we want them to be. Maybe you're dealing with health stuff for you or for someone that you love. Maybe you're dealing with family stuff that is just not the way that you want it to be. Maybe things are tough at work. Maybe relationships are really messy right now. And then that's just life, right? But then there's also the news headlines where there's cost of living, endless war, you know, polarized politics. All of it just feels really messy right now, doesn't it? Let me just give you a glimpse into just my last month or so. I visited my parents at the end of August. And I just had that moment where I realized it was a glimpse of reality that they are aging, that they are slowing down. And that reality sunk home. And then, and you know what? Truth be told, I'm feeling my age as well, right? Like I had this trip to the States, and so while I was there, I got my blood checked just to kind of check on things. But I can feel in my own body just like, okay, I'm slowing down. I'm getting older. Other things going on for me. We're waiting for this kind of big expected tax bill on some back taxes that we weren't paying correctly because of our immigration status for a long time. We've been waiting for that. Some of you know that our oldest son has been waiting for a final sentencing on a 3-year-old offense where he was arrested for his involvement in environmental protests. That's a long waiting game with a lot of ups and downs. I've had a couple of places where some close friendships were feeling strained because of disagreement or unresolved conflict. Recently, I've helped to close down a charity here in the UK that I've been a part of for many years, and it's been costly, it's been painful, it's been time-consuming. And in all of that, there's been a couple of really tricky work-related management conversations that I've had to navigate from a long distance. None of it's Good Shepherd Mission stuff. Don't want you to get worried. I mean, what else, Pam? We've got mice in the house. I almost slipped in the shower this morning. I mean, just that's the mess of life. Now, I don't say all of that for your pity or to raise any unnecessary concern about my life. There's a lot about that that is just life, isn't it? That's just life. I don't want to give you the impression, though, that I've got it all together. The thing is, and you probably know what I'm talking about, life can be messy. You know, the leadership team here at the church is really aware that many of us have been stuck in messy times and in messy situations recently. They may not be the same as the things that I just described for me, but they're similar, aren't they? But here's the thing that I can say to you with confidence, in spite of all of that, I'm okay. And I'm okay because I have hope. And I have hope in the midst of the mess. And I wanted to tell you about that today, not from my life, but as best as I can from Scripture. And that's really what this series is about over the next number of weeks, that we can have hope in the midst of the mess. You know, the Bible is a book of hope. This is a series where we find hope and how we can hold on to hope in the midst of a messy life. And the Bible is full of people with very messy lives, and they're messy people. You know, even those heroes that you hear about in Sunday school, they're messy people, and they're in messy situations. So we're going to look at a few of those over the course of this series. And today it's Abraham. He's a character from the Old Testament who gets mentioned a few times in the New Testament. And so let me just set the stage here a little bit about Abraham. We'll look at Genesis chapter 17 here up on the screen, and then we'll go to Romans. And Genesis 17, God says to Abraham, "As for me, this is my covenant with you. This is my promise," he says. "You will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abram, but your name will be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you." Okay, so that's the setup. That's the promise that God makes to Abraham way back at the beginning of the Bible. So now open up your Bibles with me to Paul's letter to the Romans. It's chapter 4 of Romans on page 1068 in your Bibles there on the tables. Romans chapter 4, page 1068. I'm going to read starting at verse 18. You with me? All right. "Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, 'So shall your offspring be.' Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. This is why it was credited to him as righteousness." So we'll stop there for this week. So look at that verse 18 where we started. Against all hope. What is this saying to us? This is saying that against all hope, in spite of all of the evidence to the contrary, Abraham believed what God had said to him. This is what Paul calls hope in the mess. You know, verse 18, against all hope. That phrase, against all hope, it means beyond, it's hope that's beyond the expectations of an old man and a childless couple. So how does Abraham do it? Let's look at that. Verse 19 says that he faced the facts without weakening in his faith. Well, what facts? Well, two pretty big ones. First, that his body was as good as dead. Did you see that? That he's an old man who's closer to the grave than he is to pushing around a baby buggy. How many of us like to face that fact? I mean, let me tell you, I just turned 50 not long ago, and I'm already facing those facts. You know when your joints hurt just going downstairs in the morning? And you just ask yourself, how did I end up here? I see some knowing nods. Abraham faces the facts that his body is as good as dead. Second fact that he faces, that his wife Sarah's womb was also dead. Do you see that? That's a sobering reality for them both. So he knows he's as good as dead. He's pushing 100. His wife's 90. And so her biological clock isn't just slowing down. It's come to a dead stop. What a mess. What a mess. The two uses of the word dead describe the parents-to-be, not just of one miracle baby, but of nations? Many nations? Do you know the first time that Abraham heard this promise from God, he fell over laughing? Read Genesis chapter 17 sometime. And the thing is, Sarah, you might know this story better, she laughs about it pretty hard too. That's in Genesis chapter 18. So let me ask you, do you ever just stop to ask or to face the facts of your life? And maybe when you face the facts of your life, you just want to laugh as well. Or maybe cry. Or maybe cry laugh. You know, sometimes we don't want to look at the mess of our lives, and so we just try to look the other way and pretend it isn't there. Maybe if I just don't open that bill or I don't check my bank balance. Ever tried that? Maybe if I don't go to the doctor and get that test. Or maybe if I just somehow swerve that hard conversation with a friend. But see, that's not really hope in the mess, is it? That's avoidance. That's looking the other way. When Paul writes about Abraham's faith, he says Abraham's hope was against all hope, but he faced the facts. Verse 19 says, without weakening in his faith. And look at verse 20. He faces the facts and yet. See that in verse 20? That short little word, yet, but with an enormous meaning. He faces the facts and yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promises of God. I mean, how does Abraham do it? Now, I have to say that there's been a shift in my understanding of this passage. You know, I used to read it like the only facts that Abraham faced were that he was old and that Sarah was old and that somehow he didn't waver. You know, simple as that. But then I looked at it again and I thought, really? Verse 19, without weakening in his faith, he faced those facts. Verse 20, he did not waver through unbelief. Really? But all of a sudden, I read verse 21 differently. Look at it with me there. Abraham was, verse 21, fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he had promised. Now, stay right there with me for a moment. Fully persuaded. Not just partially persuaded, but fully persuaded. That God has the power to do what he promises. And that's when you realize Abraham wasn't just taking a chance on God, hoping he was right. He was fully convinced that God had the power to do it. Do you see that? That's why verse 20 can say he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God. Why? Because he was fully convinced that God could fulfill that promise. It wasn't an opinion, it wasn't a hunch, it wasn't a lucky wish. He was fully persuaded. It was another fact that Abraham accepted. Do you see that? God can do this. Now think about what happens in your head when someone makes a promise to you and you know that they actually cannot fulfill that promise. You know, when someone promises to pay you back for something and you know that there's no possible way that they can even do it, how much do you believe their promise? When someone says, hey, look, I'll cook dinner tonight, and you know that they don't even know how to boil water for pasta, are you banking on that dinner? No. This week we heard a number of speeches from British politicians about what they want to do, what they would promise to do even, but sometimes it can be difficult to believe that it'll happen because we know they want to keep their promises, but we aren't so sure about their ability or their power to do it. Not Abraham. In the mess of his life, when he was as good as dead, he didn't weaken his faith. He didn't waver through unbelief in the promise of God because he was fully persuaded that God actually had the power to do what he had promised. Do you know anybody else like that? Paul describes God like this earlier in the chapter. Look at verse 14. I've got it up on the slide for you, actually. Verse 17 of chapter 4. Abraham is our father in the sight of God in whom he believed, the God who gives life to the dead and calls into being things that were not. I love that. The preacher and writer John Stott says it like this, but nothingness and death are no problem to God. On the contrary, it's out of nothing that he created the universe and out of death that he raised Jesus. The creation and the resurrection were and remain the two major manifestations of the power of God. So think about that for just a moment. The power to create something from nothing and the power to raise dead things to life. Abraham believed in a God with that kind of power. And so the question becomes, do we? Do I? In the middle of our mess, when it looks like all hope is lost, do we trust in the promises of God like it's a stretch of the imagination? Or are we fully persuaded of this one fact that God has the power to do what he promises? That when God has said it, that he can do it and he will do it. Now, friends, that is hope. When we come to believe that God is who he says he is and that he has the power to bring dead things to life, to create something out of nothing, when we fully believe that, we can hope against all hope. And like Abraham, we can face the mess of our lives without weakening, without wavering. So this is a reminder to us to pay attention to the promises of God in Scripture. You know, we've spoken about this recently. This isn't a name it and claim it faith, where we believe that God promises, you know, whatever we think we want, especially if we think we want health and wealth and prosperity. That's not what this is saying. That's a path of false hope that is instead of hope that builds on the promises of God. But what are just a few of the things that the Bible does promise? Psalm 103, that God will not treat us as our sins deserve, that he removes them as far as the east is from the west. Philippians 1, that God who began a good work in us will be faithful to complete it. Philippians 4, that we can be strengthened by Christ to be content in good times and bad times. 1 John 1, that if we confess our sins, he'll be faithful to forgive. Forgiveness, faithfulness, strength, finishing what he started. Maybe your situation today, whatever it is, needs to be reminded that God has the power to do all of these things that he's promised in your life. Friends, there's no greater demonstration that God keeps his promises than the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus himself. Sent by God to face the fact that humanity was lost in sin and evil, Jesus lived a perfect life and suffered the death that we deserved to save us from the punishment of sin. But then God, in his power, raised him from death so that we could live in hope. Brothers and sisters, when you're stuck in the mess, look to Jesus and tell yourself again, God has the power to keep his promises. Three things happen when we trust God's promises as our only true hope in the midst of our lives. And all three are here in our passage today. Let's look at them together. We've already talked about the first one. That first one, we're strengthened. Now, just look at the passage that we read. One thing I love about this section of Paul's letter is the word repetitions. Verse 18 says hope twice. Verse 19 says dead twice. And you get the promise of God mentioned in verse 20 and in verse 21, all repetition. But then there's a contrast. Look at the contrast. Verse 19, Abraham had hope without weakening in his faith. But in verse 20, he was strengthened in his faith, from weakening to strengthened. He was strengthened in his faith. That could be read, he was strengthened by his faith. Have you ever looked at the mess of your life and seen it as an opportunity to be strengthened by your faith? This is what happens when our hope is in the right place. Second thing that happens when we live like this, God gets the glory. When we place our hope in God and believe that he is at work in all things, we get strengthened and God gets the glory. Did you see that in the text? So Stott, again, he writes, Abraham strengthened himself by means of his faith, and in this way he gave glory to God. He says, that is to say, he glorified God by letting God be God and by trusting him to be true to himself as the God of creation and resurrection. And there's one more thing that happens, and this really does seem like the icing on the cake. We get declared righteous. Do you see that in verse 21? This is why it was credited to Abraham as righteousness. That word righteousness is what is good, fair, and right. We get declared good and right. Now, isn't that amazing? In believing with hope that God has the power to keep his promise, we get the credit for being good. We get declared right in the court of law. And that phrase here is a callback to the very start of the chapter. Look on that page that you've got in front of you. Look at verse 3 in chapter 4. What does Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. And that's a callback all the way to Genesis 15, which we looked at earlier, when the promise was first made. Look at this. I've got it up here on the screen for you. Genesis 15, then the word of the Lord came to him, this man will not be your heir, but a son coming from your own body will be your heir. And then he took Abraham outside and he said, look up at the heavens and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Face the facts, God says. And then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. Abraham, verse 6, believed the Lord and he credited it to him as righteousness. Right at the beginning, as soon as God made the promise and Abraham believed it, it got credited to him. He was declared good. He was made right in the eyes of God simply by believing. So for me and for us, I could take any one of those things that I shared in my life at the start, or we could point to the mess that you feel stuck in, and we say, here's how we can live in hope. By facing the facts as they are, and by believing that God has the power to make something out of nothing, to bring life out of death. That's the journey that we're on in the next number of weeks as we explore life in the mess together, hope in the mess. Let me pray for us and pray for you. Oh God, you meet us in the messiness of life and you bring hope. We call upon you, God of creation, who makes something out of nothing. Would you give us hope? We call upon you, God of resurrection, who brings life from dead things. Would you bring hope? Hope to this church. Hope to each person in the lives that we live. Hope in these circumstances that just feel messy. Would you do that, God, today and in the days ahead? Make us people who, like Abraham, believe and trust that you can do what you say. Our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Christ alone, you are our cornerstone. You strengthen the weak. You're with us in the storm. And you're Lord of all. To our credit and to your glory. Amen.